location in the ordination, and how that's important family education. So you know, to do that, there are the CBF ministry and HBF ministry, and also family. So today, this one talk about teacher self development in the youth ministry. This presentation for CBF teacher and HBF teacher, also one-to-one Bible teacher too. This content is encouraging this teacher, based on this Bible. So we have no teachers training program or school. So we have to really, everything can have that kind of training by ourselves. But that is not easy things. So this lecture encourages us why we have to improve ourselves as a teachers and Bible teacher and shepherd. In that way, we can be a good teacher and shepherd and Bible teacher for sheep and children and also students. So that's why I prepared this one. So this pretty much related to Bible, you know, Bible. So we look for many Bible passages. So just let you know. The title is "The Teacher Self Development in the Youth Ministry." It's an overview. The future of our children is our hope. Our children are our hope. Their visions are our hope, and their possible dream will be our joy and delight. Teacher who teaches and take care of them is to design their hope and joy like an artist. Through teacher's devotion, faith, and tearful prayer, their hearts are molded and their hope and joy are completed. This is the teacher's very important part of that. Then, the question is how to maximize teacher's capacity to fulfill this tremendous task which God has given. So this lecture is a preparation for our hope and joy. The main points are: what's the definition of self-development as a teacher, what they are, how to do it, and how to utilize this in our youth ministry based on the Word of God. This is an overview. So it's a triangle relationship in youth ministry. That came up yesterday, but this is a little bit broad scope. So in the youth ministry, the BBF, CBF, JBF, HBF, and carrying out children on top of children. In the front side is the teachers, rear side is parents. As I talked that our children ministry that lecture, teachers are directions, and parents supporting in the backside. In the way, this youth ministry can grow. Just a teacher cannot do it. Parents cannot do it by themselves. So teacher and parents come together and push up this vehicle so that they can drag and push and power. And Wisconsin is so many snow come up, front wheel drive we need. But those are not much cold, that's a place, they don't need a front drive well. But this vehicle, this children's ministry, youth ministry is very big and very difficult. So somebody have to drag and somebody have to push. In that way, this vehicle can move. But that is a triangle relationship. This emphasizes that our teachers and parents are very important role in youth ministry, children's ministry, and teacher self-development, observation and input. Okay. There was a theology professor at the Dallas Seminary, Howard Hendrick, PhD, who was renowned worldwide as an educator. When he gave a lecture to his students, he often talked about his professor, why he was a student who influenced him a lot. Mr. Hendrick used to pass through the professor's house many times in a day. He always saw his professor's room's light on and his shadow on the table through the light. So one day, Mr. Hendrick asked him, his professor, "Teacher, how could you study all the time? I couldn't see your room light off." He wanted to know why. What a surprise answer he had. "I don't want to give non-flowing water to my students, but fresh and flowing water from the river or fountain." This conversation really lead us. Teacher's role, we have to bring fresh and flowing alive, that's the water to our students, rather than non-flowing, that's not good. But all the time study and dig out that knowledge, recent knowledge, information bring to their students so that students can grow. So this Dr. Howard Hendrick is very famous educator, and so he wrote a lot of books about that's how to teaching and how to educate. So he admired his professor who taught him in their way, influenced him. So he really study and really give influence to next generation. Likewise, we are all teachers and shepherds and parents. So we have to just having knowledge only give to them, then next we don't have to give anything. So we just have to give other thing, like same thing. That is not really good. So teacher must dig up, bring this fresh water to our students. So here we have a question then. Flowing water and non-flowing water. How it looks like? Here, look at that. This is a flowing water, right? It's from top to bottom flowing. How about this one? This is non-flowing. So which water you want? Of course, that's a flowing water for everybody. No one wants that one, but sometimes we become habitually bring this non-flowing water. So we want to hear comparison between flowing and non-flowing water. I want to ask you, what is the, here is some deeper. Tell me, what is the flowing water and non-flowing water? The characteristic.
Fresh.
Huh? Fresh, yeah. Okay. What else?
Applicable for cleansing purpose. More applicable. When it's flowing, more applicable for current situation.
Okay. It's not unlimited, huh? Okay. What else? God bless you. Yes. So we can think about many things. In the flowing water, fish can live, but non-flowing, fish cannot live there. And also bad smell coming. But the one thing is different is, flowing water, we have to go and pick it up and bring. We need an effort. It's non-flowing water, it's everywhere, just to pick it up and just bring it. So that also kind of thing. So here we can think about, through this comparison, we need effort, we need labor, you know, to supply this foreign world. So, what kind of world do you want to give to your students? So, of course, this question is very funny. This everybody knows this. I don't want to ask you this one. And the state of Illinois has a law that every driver must renew one driver license every 5 years, up until 7 years old. After that, they must go through every 4 or 3 years, based upon their individual ability. Driver must take the road test or a written test, some cases both tests for the sake of safety. So I'm just 7 years old. My driver license from now on is based upon this Illinois law, 3 or 4 years I have to renew. Before was 5 years, but it's kind of for safety. Another thing case we can think about here. Generally, school teachers take many ongoing trainings and proper education, you know, to maintain their job. I think there are little more about she has a primary, what is the education major, so even she didn't practice. However, teacher must do ongoing training every year, you know, to renew their knowledge at the same time skill to teach. So here we can see, more than that, every teacher in our youth ministry has 3 roles as a teacher. As I mentioned yesterday, teacher has 3 roles in our youth ministry, teacher. Number one is teacher, just to pass on knowledge. Number two, shepherd role, have to save these children, these youth. So that is a shepherd role. And parents, they are still in the home. They miss the children. So it's like our mission is bring our child here. Without parents' love, they cry out. They say, so have to bring some parents' heart. It's like a mother's heart. So these 3 things, all youth ministry teacher must have this one. Otherwise, it's kind of a responsibility. It's you know, up and down. So here we can think about here teachers and shepherd and teachers and parents. These 3 roles come together, make a teacher. In other words, we are taking care of a young soul, so we must do our best to develop ourselves as a teacher. Everybody say, I'm a one-time Bible teacher, I don't need any training because I'm teaching Bible. That, as a shepherd, that is okay. But teacher role is a little bit different. In teacher's role, teaching and shepherd, here, these 3 roles have to come in together. So that's why here is we have to develop ourselves as a teacher. Let me ask you with 3 questions this time. See our answer. Okay. Mission Charles Beck, can you read this number one?
How many hours do you prepare a student Bible study lesson in a week?
So, okay, I don't want to ask you, everybody. Think of an answer by yourself in your heart. How many hours you are preparing there? Okay, now number two. Now it's a hand up there. Can you read number two?
How long minutes does your class have?
I don't want to ask you too, so you just answer by yourself. Okay, number three.
Do you try to practice what you talk to your student?
Okay, this is a tough question. Among three, it's the most tough one. We are usually teaching just what I learn and relate. We don't care about the practice one. But this question we recognize ourselves, what we are doing here clearly. So this really awaken us how to do it, our role of teacher, this job as a teacher, shepherd for our children and the ship. So, you know, to carry, resolve this problem, we want to go to Bible side. Bible passage, 1 Peter 5-4. Okay, let's read this all together. Okay. Be shepherd of God's flock, laid under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing. That God wants you to be, not the same divine gain, but here to serve, not knowing in hope of those who trust in you, but being examples of God. And when the chief shepherd of you, you will receive the crown of glory, and you will never fade away. Okay, this is usually when he appoint a shepherd, they give this word of God. But this including shepherd and teachers and everybody. So here, 1 Peter 5:2-4. Okay, number one. What does it mean, be shepherd of God's flock under your care, watching over them? Sarah Little, can you answer this one?
I think we talked about this yesterday, but having a sense of responsibility for God's flock. So in this case, for our children, yeah, we're to guide them and take care of them, their spiritual condition.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and number two. You can have Gail. Any answer that?
They are firstly to just shoot. So from there I trust it to me and us to take care of.
Yes, yes. That's not our sheep, even though God entrusts us, but they are not our sheep. It's God's sheep. So you have to be clear. Based on this passage, God raised and appointed us as a teacher, and he entrusted his beloved children to us. Even though he entrusted them to us to take care of, but they belong to him, not us. It's very clear boundary with this passage, really showed us clear boundary. Our children also is not our own. This is God's. The God's children. Just he entrusted us. We take care of while we are living. So we have to be very clear about this boundary. It's my child. Of course, that's their child, but originally that's belong to God. Our sheep also same thing. My sheep. That's not my sheep, but this God's sheep. So then, what is the responsibility? It's very clear about. So we must teach them with God's word and take care of them in God's ways. This is God's sheep. So we have to take care of them with God's word and God's way, not my own way. Sometimes we have our own experience, past experience. How that works good, so we put it in. But we have to go in God's way because they are God's sheep, God's children. Even though there are many shortcuts and convenience, but we have to know that it's God's sheep. This is a Bible passage clearly saying to us. Then we come to know what kind of attitude we need as a teacher for this test, which God has given. If this is God's sheep, our attitude should be changed. Yeah? Very clear. So, okay, number three. Okay, Michelle, Naomi, can you answer this one with this question?
What are the bad attitudes that we have to get rid of
as teacher.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
To be.
Oh, there's no passage? Yeah. Okay, I want to go back to Bible passage.
Not really, no.
Okay. Here, you can find out. What we have to get rid of?
Not pursuing dishonesty, but egotism. And then not ruling it over those interests to be, but be examples to the flock.
And also there's a verse 2, not because you must, but because you are willing. So that is a kind of things. So here's the attitude we have to, you know what I mean, talk about. So the attitude of you must and pursuing dishonest gain are not God's will. But those things belong to my will and my way. In other words, we are using God's word and name for our own glory and best. So we must get rid of these kind of things in our heart. So attitude should be changed in God's way, willing heart. So we must examine ourselves whether we are looking for others' recognition or praise as a teacher. Our purpose of serving God's children should be for God's glory and pleasing to Him. This is an obvious one. So when we serve for God's glory and for God's honor, we don't feel anything. But, this is not my sheep, but I'm taking care of them, there was some kind of burden. Because many teachers born out after 1 year serving, CBF teacher or something else, because they are saying that this is for my business, my serving, and then entire. But when you think about this God's sheep we take care of, this through this serving, we are glorifying God and participating in God's work. It's a CBF, it's a recruiting teacher, it's the most difficult things. In every chapter, they ask me, how to recruit this teacher? No one wants to be, it's a CBF teacher. Because continue for our service all the time, but no result coming. So it looks like all the time losing business, something. So no one want to. Oh, I have more enough serving one-to-one. So, that's a children ministry. Looks like not God's work at all. It's a raising one shepherd. It looks like a God's work, but it's a taking care of children. It's not looks like a God's work. Many people think that the way, but we have to see here in the last paragraph that our purpose of serving God's children should be for God's glory and pleasing to Him. Then we are willing to and sacrificially in participate. Number 4, what are the good attitudes that we must have as a teacher? Mission Charles? I want to go back to this passage you can look at. Okay, what is a good attitude?
So be shepherds.
Be shepherd.
Yeah. And then rather than loading over them, but being an example to the flock.
Example. Okay. Yeah.
And ego to serve.
Ego to serve, yes. Yes.
And willing.
Willing, yes. It's most important. Willing heart. Ego to serve and example. That is a correct answer here. So here, as a teacher, good attitude. Bible text encourages us to serve God's love with a willing heart and joyful heart. Joyful heart. It's not easy to use a willing heart. If we have a willing heart, we can be joyful. But somebody pushing as a kind of something, then it's not joyful. Even though doing, but not joyful. But when we really serve God, willing heart, we are joyful. One-to-one sheep is serving. One of our Chicago the missionary is saying that he went to UIC with a fishing, saying that I have a great privilege to serve God by fishing. The most doesn't like it as a fishing because injection is the obvious one. But this missionary said, this is a great privilege, can serve God. How nice, it's a wonderful attitude we can see here. So when we have a willing heart, we can be joyful. But somebody push, oh, you go. Even pastor, chapter director say, oh, it's a fishing car, everybody go fishing. In our hearts, a grumbling heart. Not joyful, even though we go, not happy things. But God knows our heart. So when we have a willing heart, we can have a joyful heart. Clear thing. So how can we have a, such a willing heart and joyful heart when we serve students as a teacher? I want to ask you this one for everybody. How can we have this, such a willing heart and joyful heart? Our mission joined. You didn't read, so I want to ask you. How can we have a willing heart and joyful heart in serving?
I think according to verse 4, when the chapter appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory.
That also, yeah.
Our heart is cultivated gratitude of for the love of God, then there will be idea, but not, we are not like the relationship. And then there will be the first, this kind of idea to love of God and love of others. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, what you know it is to be the reward, we will get from the King Jesus when he returns.
Okay. How about the Hanabe?
We have to take the word. As she said, when my heart is filled with Jesus' love and grace, then I remember how Jesus loved me, loved me.
Yes. Okay. Good answer. Yeah. Okay. Number one is we have to have a right relationship with God. He is a father, we are children. And he's a beloved father, we are beloved children. Then that relationship that enabled us, we have a willing heart. Whatever father say, I'm willing to. Yes, some kind of our children sometimes, some of them, even father say, didn't listen, but second son is listening. It's some kind of deeper. But likewise, when we have a build up with a right relationship with God, we are not grumbling. We just willingly accept it. So here, talk about Deuteronomy 6:4-5, relationship begin with love each other. Especially Deuteronomy 6:5 is a love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with your whole strength. That really showed us when we love God, we are willing to. And also John 21:15-17, when Peter loved Jesus, he asked him to fellowship. So here we can see that when we love God, we have willing heart. It's coming up. It's some less loving heart, we have not willing. So that's why Jesus asked Peter, do you love me more than this? Not just one time, but three times. In the way, make sure that he loved Jesus. From time to time, Jesus asked us in our heart, do you love me more than this? Sometimes we cannot answer that. That is a love relationship, as you mentioned here. So number two, We must know our Lord Jesus' heart and will. What is the Father's will? He wants to save all lost souls. That is the Father's heart. When we know these things before, we are willingly doing that task. But we don't know what is He's doing. We are not really clear if the willing heart coming out or not. So when we know God's heart and His mind will, then we have a willing heart, and even though all kinds of hardship, we are ready to serve. So here, when an employee hear and understand his boss instruction well, his job will be easy and productive work. Jesus wants to save all people from their sin by any means. When we know Jesus' heart and desire, well, we join with Him voluntarily and share His joy together. This is a good example that when Jesus saw 5,000 people, He came out with compassion. But Jesus' disciples didn't know. He said, oh, they're so hungry. Mouth 5,000, how can we see it? Because they don't know about Jesus' weight and His mind and heart. So they just different. Jesus asked him east side, they enter west. This is not matching. So when you know about God's will and God's heart, you begin to come up with heart. Number three. As mentioned that we must remember God's grace and love who forgave all our sins through His Son, Jesus Christ, and gave us eternal life in the kingdom of God. It's exactly what our two missionary answer that. Crown of life is there. And when we remember what God has done in our life. So this one, Romans 1:5 say that, through Him, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for His name's sake. When you have a bully and disobedient or talk bad students in our class, we become easily irritated. But we must remember Jesus' love and grace who took all our sins and shortcomings in His cross. When I serve in CBS, so there are every year is a bully. He's a top-back student and a troublemaker every year. So we don't want to take care of this one. He's all good student we want to take care of. But they are also children of God who has an image of God. We have to remember that when I was not converted, I was the same thing with them. So when you remember what God has done in our life, we can be voluntarily serving these children, overcoming, taking care of. Sometimes even your children among them, one of them all the time will be troubled. So, hey, you're my son, but I don't want to sometimes in our heart, you know. But when we think about our past, we have a grace. So Jesus here saying that Romans, we receive grace and apostleship. Grace and apostleship. In that way we can serve. Then what is the best way to teach and how should we exercise our lordship as a teacher? They already Mr. Charles Beck answered this one. It's like here. Good example. Worship service is very important. It is because sinners are coming to God, meet Him personally through worship service. If teachers do not come or are late to student worship, students cannot learn the spirit of true worship. Sometimes the teacher didn't come, student come and student is waiting for teacher. That is, the teacher must come first and waiting for student. It's what's a reverse. Way. That is not really good things our teaching is that. Through all teachers' action, students may learn something. So have to be example. So number six question, when you keep this word of God and the teacher, what will happen? Mission Hanover, what will happen? Verse 4. Do you remember verse 4? What is that?
When the teacher appears, you will receive the crown of glory that you never think of.
Okay, so when you keep all these things, what is our reward? Crown of glory. So when you study the Bible, there are many crown of many things. Crown of glory, crown of light, and crown of justice. I found a 4 or 5. But this First Peter mentioned that crown of glory. So when you keep this all this attitude and keeping that role, based upon that, God will give us crown of glory. How nice it is. We have a crown of life at the same time, crown of that glory. Although our children who really like games and phones and eating presently, they will be our witnesses before God. They will be our witnesses before God. So we teachers do our best to the end, until we will hear our master's praise. Well done, good and faithful servant. So then we have here crown of glory. I don't know how it looks like, but everybody like this one. Come on. Wow. We can imagine. This is a way teacher must do it that way. Because it's a Bible say, not the Bible actually say. This is a Bible say. So God never lied. So this is the truth. So we must believe this one. So now is the application comes. What kind of thing is making me very happy and meaningful or difficult while I was serving as a teacher? So here is serving some teacher. Our children, maybe no one, maybe as a Bible shepherd, Bible teacher, you are serving, so you can put it here. What kind of thing did make me very happy and meaningful or difficult while I'm serving as a one-to-one Bible teacher? How about changes a subject that way? When we are happy and meaningful? When?
When they're growing.
Then they're growing, okay. And so when we are so difficult and frustrated?
When they're unrepentant.
Unrepentant. And then they?
They blow you off. They don't show up.
They will not show up. Saying goodbye. You run away, huh? Yes. That's right. So exactly same things. Our teacher also same thing. Even though they are not go away, but sometimes go away. So, when did I become joyful and comforted as a teacher? When I frustrate and tired as a teacher? What kind of teacher do you want to be? Here is number three. That means you can write down three things. When I joyful, how about when I tired, frustrated? Think about it here. I don't want to ask you number one and number two, but I want to ask you number three to you. What kind of teacher do you want to be? How about that? Time together. What kind of teacher you want to be?
I want to be a teacher who conveys the point of God quite well, effectively, that they students to understand better God's heart. And it's a Jesus first thing and God and have a desire to grow in Jesus. Yeah, I want to be an effective teacher.
Yes. I can't remember. I forgot your name.
Esther.
Huh? Esther.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Esther.
Personally, I want to be a teacher who is very patient.
Oh, patient.
And can wait. For next student.
Yes.
Something I can, I wanted to push him to go and make a barefoot woman. I have to be.
Yes. It's like the baby right there pushing. You go, 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 push, go, push. Give a food, continue. It's not too much. I have to get it patient. How about Bishin Charlesberg?
Oh. I want to be a teacher who can help my students to become a teacher. So that they can make their five students become a teacher too.
Okay, that's all good things we can think about. So, there's not no clear answer, but so as you mentioned there, that is a good teacher how to be. So your suggestion, come in. Number one, the best teaching is being example to the student. In that sense, how was my teaching and my practical life matched? We want to be an example. So that students can follow, imitate. So Jesus always said, imitate me, follow me. Follow me, just going Jesus, but following me, there is a meaning that imitating his character. That is a very important matter. So, if for following Jesus, that developing our character, that plus practical life have to be matched. So American culture, American students, now the problem is, when they graduate high school, they are going to other place, college, leaving behind their parents, home. They want to somewhere and really have a freedom. So they make it, analyze that one, that those grown up at the church, when they go to college, they are leaving faith. More than 80% in America. They analyze why that happened. Why? We can think about many things. However, number one thing is they are confusing because at the church, they are church member teacher teaching the truth. This one, many things. But when they go home, parents are not practicing. Parents are only church Christian, not the home Christian. So children is confusing. At the Sunday school, CBF, teacher teaching the truth. But when they come at the home, they stay around 16 hours per day. They look at the parents, what they are doing. They are not really Christian practicing. Only at the church, they use the Bible, but at the home, put it there. Not reading, not practicing. So children make confusing. What is the truth? This they teaching truth, but they didn't practice. So there is grown up, high school, and then college go to other state. Okay, I don't want that anymore. Over 18 years old, so I need to follow me. That is the main reason. There are other reasons too, but however, this is a major thing. The parents' influence, the example in life. So that's why the example is the most important thing. And also, it's a practical life. Our faith is not just a framework, just knowing that one. We have to practice in our life. Without that, there is no faith at all. So, before children, we have to show what is the really faith really looks like. Because they don't know the CBF or church, they have only 1 hour, 2 hours remain here, but mostly at the home, live there, when in contact with parents. So their mother is their parent. Even though they don't look at with the microscope, but they are looking at their parents, what they are doing. And exactly what their parents are doing, they imitate. So when they marry, exactly their parents' marriage life, they imitate. So one of our missionaries married. First night, he hit his wife. Unbelievable things, you know. I don't want to mention name, however. That is a, it's like a family something tradition they learn from their parents. But those children who show, the parents show good example, they just exactly doing in their family life too. So that's why the family, the teacher and parents, the most important matter, be a role model for students and children. Of course, they are doing not crime or something and stealing or killing, that kind of stuff, but we have to show our spiritual life to our children and our students. This is God's ship, not mine. So we have to show good example to them.
Yeah, I know that if wife like disrespects child, I mean disrespects her husband in front of the children resent the father.
Right.
And then if the father does not serve the family, like practically, then the kids will become very selfish. And they will not serve.
Right.
They will not serve their future family. So like my like, you know, traditional Korean, like, family is father doesn't do any housework and mom has to do everything and take care of baby. And so my father learned that from his father. My dad, he never did anything and my grandma did everything. So my dad did the same thing. He just eat and then leave. And then my mom had to clean it. And then my brothers learned it from him.
Uh-huh.
And so they never clean anything. They're like 25, 26, 7 years old. They never clean anything until after they moved out by themselves. Mm-hmm. And then they realize, oh, my mom cleaned for me, and I have to clean now. Yeah, I think it's really true that they learn from our habits.
Right.
And so yeah, if we want our kids to be a good wife or a good husband and or a good parent in the future, mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, indeed. So today we went to Mission Charles Beck's lunch invitation. The three children brought that bibimbap.
Wow.
Every child went, wow, that's a good example. How that's a wonderful thing.
They did not learn from me. That's my influence. I have an old tradition of
So when I want to become a CBF teacher, it's a little kid, it's a fourth grader. They bring chair, table, pencil, you know, it's very hard to bring because little one. So I bring everything. And then I realize that is not good for them. Even though that time is good, but that's not good. So I just bring table. Okay, bring your chair, your own. They all bring. That is a good thing, so we can teach them children so that have a responsibility and taking care of themselves. So when they go to conference, they have to do it their own because the mom is not there, so they have to do it their own. So we see this at the conference, which parents train their children. Some children, they couldn't carry themselves at all, but some of them, they carry well. They carry well, that is parents really train them or show an example. But those are not caring even himself. Parents are not showing good example. Right? So, you know, when you go to see their teacher, we know what the family life is. As I mentioned, I was not a regular teacher assigned. I'm always a substitute teacher because we have 20 teachers. So every week, one or two are absent. So I'm going in. So they share testimony. Their testimony is very true and sincere, even though short, saying that one boy shared testimony that Lord helped my father and mother not fight each night. My father may not hit my mother. Oh no. So I think about his parents. Oh, his parents is a prestigious missionary, he's a leader. Wow, I cannot say to them. But I saw what is a family life looks like. So because children are very honest, they don't know how to lie. So they wrote exactly what their home situation and tell up there. So you have to be careful in the family life. They saw and exactly what they are doing, parents doing. Also, class students really learn from their teacher what teacher doing. Teacher is not writing testimony. That class is not writing testimony. So this is an obvious one. So it's a teacher and parents. It must be example. That is the best one. It's a good education role model. For students who came late. And came early and prepare all things before meeting. That should be doing. Number phone or text message deleting before 20 or 30 minutes before meeting class. Two, for students who disrupt worship service, Bible study, what can you do? Teacher participate in meeting with a sincere attitude, regardless disrupting. He must be sincere, not rebuking or something. Give up and go home. That is not good attitude, teacher. Sometimes we want to like that, you know. So much disrupting. So, and teacher may not talk with the student or other teachers. And, oh, I'm a teacher, so I must have a freedom, something talk with the others. He taught students, don't talk, but he taught the other thing. Then that is not good example. For students who made trouble, make clear what was wrong, correct with act of law. Must correct with act of law, not just to cover with a blanket, but have to clearly say that you are what you did wrong, and with act of law. And for students, express boring and no interest. That is a common thing. What you can do? Substitute with the Bible passage related programs such as Bible writing, memorizing, quiz, short scripts, music, game, puzzle, physical exercise, and so on. So one of our second grade teachers is always doing class. If the children not pay attention, he said, okay, let's go out and take his class student running, circle around the church outside building, run together. Around two circle, then came back. They were refreshed and good. So all kind of things, just the boring thing continue, that is not really good thing. Have to some change that atmosphere and something Bible dictating something like that and change that key in their way they can restore their interest. Teacher must show 100% participation in everything. Okay, this is your job, you do it. I'm here sitting. That is not a good thing. Have to participate all together, everything. So what must I develop in order to be a good teacher? Now is we have a main section. So far we talk about all kinds of things. That's flowing water and what kind of teacher's role based on Bible and that things. Then what must I develop in order to be a good teacher? Providing with cool and clean and flowing water. So what must I develop in order to be a good teacher? You can think about. Usually when I did this presentation, I bring some paper here so they can call out the name and the crowd there. But here, so just to think about yourself. So, the most important thing in teacher self-development in the spirituality, most important thing is the spirituality of teacher. Not the skill or education or primary education major or anything, but the spirituality developing. As a teacher, spiritual growth is necessary, though we are mature than children. Sometimes we look down our children. Oh, I'm adult. You are children. You're immature. I'm mature. In that way, education is not going well. So, our spiritual growth must grow. Teacher, children grow, spirit grow, teacher must grow. That way, they can give to children something. If their level is the same, nothing to give anything more. Just repeating give everything, like a non-flowing water, continue. So they are really sick and not growing. But give a fresh air, give them all the time, so that they can grow up. So, 1 Peter 2:8 said, like newborn babies, pray pure spiritual milk. Part-time teacher will develop this one, spirituality. I'm a teacher, but I have to grow. Without growing, we cannot give anything. So like a Bible teacher taught, the sheep become a shepherd, is the same level. Then is he need another teacher, not his teacher. He's all the time giving same food all the time. Is make a non-digestible or something happens. So it's likewise, in order to avoid that kind of situation, teacher must grow spiritually. So this verse, 1 Peter 2:8, indicate that we have to grow continually until we know Jesus very personally. Apostle Paul showed himself as the most educated person in the Bible. Nonetheless, he says, Philippians 3:10, like this, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. So, I heard that PhD professors are required to publish articles every year to maintain professorship. So, American professor is not easy. So professor have to really submit that article every year, the evaluation. So likewise, professor required to publish article every year to maintain professorship. Teacher's spiritual growth is essential in youth ministry, you know, to be an example and role model to students. Without growing, cannot be role model. Maybe once in a while, but it's not continuous. So, teacher must grow. So, after the spiritual growth, teacher has to fill with teaching technique on top of the spiritual foundation. There are so-called teacher self-development. So, on top of spirituality, put it in teaching technique there. That is a perfect teacher's role. Here, look at this part. is half is a complete, half is a non-complete. Is a half non-complete this year, incomplete, how their friend, just a friend, he cannot live there. But the other half, we can live in. They put in the roof, window, wall, on top of that frame. So this picture shows that this frame is a spirituality. On roof or wall or window, there is a kind of a technique, how to teach him how to lead the students, something like that. In the way, make this house is a complete. That is a, we are looking for teachers development, self-development. Teachers self-development. When I stand before students for the first time as a teacher, we often question about ourselves. Do I qualify as a teacher or can I be a good teacher? So every teacher first time stand, it's two questions come. But those questions are nothing but worry itself. It is because good teacher will be formed through the self-development, learning and training not to be born. So there is a room we can grow up, become good teacher when we develop our self-speciality and all techniques there. But speciality has to come first, not the technique first. Some teacher come, oh, I don't know how to take care of children, where are they? That is not the matter. First, this man's a special condition. Speciality is the most essential thing. And technical things, you can learn right away, everything. So here, number one, speciality, special word. God's word. Spiritual growth is coming from God's word. Because 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scripture is God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So through God's word. And Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thought and attitude of the heart. Second, prayer. Prayer is a conversation between God and man. Prayer to God is not just talking by our lips, but it requires our mind and heart, spirit and soul with faith. So all prayer makes our soul refreshed and strong, based on 1 Corinthians 14:15. And third, piety. Calvin said, piety is the unity of respect and love to God together. Generally, service, temperance and obedience come from piety. Not piety itself, but pious life produce this as a fruit of it, as well as leads us to God and have intimate relationship with Him. So these are three things. And technique, what kind of technique here? Language. This is not the foreign language. In teaching, no one can deny the importance of language. It is because language is an essential tool for teaching. However, the language has power to give life or destroy. Also, it makes one strong or powerless and disappointed. Thus, language has a powerful influence. So, we must master language technique. That means our tongue. Teach us one word, we heard. Our student, our parents one word to our children really hurt their lifetime. Sometimes we say, if you don't listen to me, go out. That is what parents usually say. Don't use that word. That really pain. Big pain to our children. They forget everything, but they remember that word when they grow up. Oh, you say, if you don't listen, go out. Wow, that's very young. So, we must master our tongue. Here's a language, it means our tongue. So, according to James 3, 1 to 12, they talk about it, we have to master this tongue. This is a technique. And number two is counseling. Love comes from the concern about others. Mark 6:34 said, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Because he concerned about others' situation, he had a mind to feed them. But Jesus' disciples, they didn't concern. So they have no idea. So this one is a love comes from concern about others. When you concern about our class students, we began to feel something in our heart. We just, okay, you're a student, I'm a teacher, I'm teaching only, that's it. But as you mentioned, teachers were in the field. Teachers, shepherd, and parents. So we have to look at their condition. One is a gloomy, we have to find out why he's a gloomy and solve that problem. That is our youth minister teacher, CBF, HBF, JBF, anything. Not just delivering only word of God, some God say, word of God solve every problem. Yes, it is. But in order to give the word of God, we have to concern about that situation. So shepherd's job is watching his sheep with concern. With concern. Indeed, Jesus is our good shepherd and counselor who knows everything in us and resolve our problems. That's why he talked with Samaritan woman, Nicodemus. He solved all problems. Because he has a concern about his shepherd and teacher must concern for the children and students. Counseling is not a matter of a technique, but a matter of law and truth. When you look at the Bible, he says Jesus always talked about solving that problem. Samaritan woman, for example, he listened to everything, giving questions in that way. He said like a counseling, leading him to find out Jesus as a true husband. It's kind of things. Here, John 3, 1 to 21, Chapter 4, 1 through 26, 8 to 11. This is a very famous thing. Nicodemus, Samaritan woman, and one adulterous woman. How Jesus comes and lead, found out themselves, and follow Jesus. So, it's a kind of a counseling with the word of God. So, in order to do that, they must require thing is love. Love is with love, like Jesus. Jesus said, neither I condemn you, but leave your life of sin. It's Jesus is always with love, counseling. It's that way we can be a good teacher. So here, speciality, spiritual growth, plus techniques, teaching technique. This is a self-development. It's a two things when come together. It looks like this a chart is nothing more, but very clearly say that our self-development comes from speciality. There is a framework, and then on top of that, it's a second thing they put it together. So like a wall and window and roof, in the way make a complete house. Teach us seven self-development, seven things. Number one, develop teamwork. Teacher is the leader in a small group or class. And for a successful and winning team, leader and team member work together. I am teacher, I'm working by myself, but students come together, work together for this one goal, winning goal. So even though they assign a new class, there's a 1 year time, they are one team. The leader is a teacher. It's a work together without missing everybody participate. Look at Jesus, who worked together for a kingdom work with his immature disciple to the end. In the way, when Jesus saw the ascension, 12 disciples took over his job. So here is a teamwork. That means when this leader is gone, they stand by themselves. So in the way, this team grow. So it's a teacher self-develop, number one, develop teamwork. Number two, raise expectation ratio. Hope gives a motivation and endurance and strength to overcome for a goal. Higher expectation brings more room to grow. Jesus had great hope for his disciples, although they were young spiritually and uneducated. So, you can be a pioneer later on. You can be a great teacher, even though in present reality they are not that good enough, but if a teacher put in the hope there, it's higher ratio, they can really room to grow. Perfect people, there's no room to grow anymore. It's not reached 100%. But 80% students, they have room 20% to grow. So we can put more expectation. Our sheep also, so when they come to Bible study, they are so immature. How can I put the hope for them? It's a frustrating, but we will grow in the Word of God. They can be a good shepherd and missionary. Then teacher has a motivation and encouragement, endurance, and pray for and serve. So likewise, put in the higher expectation for our children and our students, so that they can have room to grow. And think about Jesus, that we really understand well. Third, express love and affection. Students in the generation are very much isolated by technology. You agree with that? Mm-hmm. Nowadays it's a cell phone, yeah, every class gone, and the even children look at listening this one. When you go to post stop, everybody look at it. There's no nothing, even at the home. Meantime, they just look at it. Look at it. Even family, no time to talk. This is very convenient, but make a isolation. Very much. Even family member. So all students are so isolated. Even though they look at this everything, high tech, but inwardly they are isolated. Also due to the various kind of family and social structure, they are hungry for love and learning. Show them with your personal parental love. So our CBF is the one child, is a neighborhood child. Their parents are not coming to UBF, but the divorced. The father is raising him. Somehow he came every week. He was hungry for love. So one of our teachers really care for him, and teaching him, and even giving some food or something. He really loved that to come. So I realized this is social structure, it's like that now. Not just the divorced family children, also everybody is isolated with the high tech. They were hungry for this love, and they used to be in loneliness. So we really embrace them with love. They are really come near to us. and come. Listen and talk, communication. If a student and teacher have to be listen and talk, communication. We are responsible for spiritual growth of a younger generation. However, there are some generation gap between teacher and student. For mutual understanding and teamwork, we need to communicate each other freely without gap. In my missionary life, for the first time, I got the freshman girlship as a ship at the Loyola. At that time, my age was 58, and girlship age was 17 years old. It's a age game like that. It's very hard to communicate. However, we lasted Bible study for 1 year. So I realized, even though there is an age gap, we have to communicate each other, listen and talk, listen and talk. In that way, reduce this communication with this age gap, so that we can help them to grow. So our children and ourselves is so generation gap, so we cannot talk. Even their language is different with our language. So sometimes it's confusing, but through communication, we can overcome this kind of age gap. Number five, humility and respect. Sometimes we think that we are higher, we are teachers, but we must serve them with humility. God gives grace to the humble, but He opposes the proud. In Exodus, God used Moses greatly to lead His people because he was humble. Humility is the essential leadership element which God used. And respect, because they also had an image of God. We must respect them, their life. Although students are young, they are persons with the image of God, individual. So we must respect their personality and serve them with the humility. Then they will get along with teachers. If they don't respect humble, children play their own, teachers play their own. So there is not making team at all. So this is a tool for making team, humility and respect. Number six, bless and encourage. People like and follow those who bless and encourage rather than criticize and insult. So some people have many friends. They are, when you look at, they are very praise and understand and many things, encourage and bless. But those are criticizing, well, no friend. So likewise, the teacher must bless our children, not the rebuking, but encourage. In that way, we can make them to grow. So likewise, teachers' encouragement and blessing give huge impact to students' learning progress and their lives. Number seven, learn and develop. Teacher is always a student. Teacher is always a student, not the teacher. Unless he learn and develop about knowledge and character, there is no growth at all, like a non-flowing world. No growth means no leadership at all. So, teacher must grow. Not just the student grow, we grow together. So that we can be able to teach our children. So, teacher has a tremendous task. Not just to go and teach, but we have to do it. Okay, you know, to conclude that, we have one video clip. Can you hear?
Yeah.
You know that's what the mean this one.
Yeah, clean.
Okay, if you have a question.
Yeah.